We're now continuing in our study of Nachyomi, the Navi Zechariah. And we will look together today at Perek Vov, the sixth chapter of Zechariah. This is Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb, continuing studying together with you this fascinating Navi, who, as we saw, has visions of the future. We're following the approach of the Malbim, largely, who feels that these visions are of the ultimate future, not just of the immediate future of his time, which is the time of the rebuilding, the beginning of the rebuilding of the second temple, the second Beis HaMikdosh. But the Malbim feels that these visions are also looking at the third Beis HaMikdosh, the ultimate third temple. These visions, I stress to you, are, as Rashi himself says in the first pasuk of Zechariah, they are, each and every nevuah is stuma hi ma'od, very mysterious. With that having been said, let's continue and look at Perek Vov. Again, I will emphasize the Malbim's approach, although in some ways the Malbim's approach is, how should I say, original and different from Rashi and other approaches. Now we're going to see another vision. Va'oshuv. Once again, says Zechariah, I lifted up my eyes and I saw. And here is the vision. There are four chariots which are coming out. They are exiting. They're leaving. From between two mountains. And these mountains are mountains of Nechoshes, bronze or copper. But Nechoshes is always a symbol in Chazal of a strong, powerful metal. So what we have here, and again, Malbim says that in the first vision, some prokim ago, when we studied of Zechariah, we learned of his vision of a horse, a red horse. That, said the Malbim, was Malchus Yavon, was the kingdom of Greece, the Hellenistic culture, Alexander the Great, etc., who succeeded, actually displaced, the Persian kings, the Malchus of Darius, of Daryovish. Now, says the Malbim, we are looking at the successors to Greece, looking way down the road from the perspective of Zechariah, way down the road of history until Acharis HaYomim, until the end of days. And what we see are four chariots. Two of them, of these chariots, exit the Har HaMashchis, the destructive mountain, and these two chariots represent evil kingdoms. And two chariots are leaving a different mountain, the Har Moed, and these chariots represent kingdoms which will not, are not evil. They may be complicated and may present problems, but they're not evil. The mountains now are mountains of Nechoshes, of copper, because, writes the Malbim, Bovel, Babylon, was the Malchus Hazohov, the Malchus of gold, and Modai, Media, Persia, was the Malchus of Kesef. However, those are gone, and now we're entering a new era, which is symbolized by the Nechoshes, the copper coming after Bovel and after Modai, meaning beginning with Greece, with Yavon. The vision continues in Pasuk Beis, Bamerkovo Horishono Susim Adumim. The first chariot is led by red horses. Uvamerkovo hasheni susim shechorim. The second chariot, black horses. Uvamerkovo hashlishis susim levonim. The third chariot is led by white horses. Uvamerkovo horaviyis. In the fourth chariot, susim berudim amutzim. There are horses which are berudim, striped or speckled. Berudim, Rashi says, means menumorim, speckled with spots like a leopard. And amutzim means they are the color of ash. Targum translates amutzim as katmonim. Now, the Malbim helps us decode these colors. Red, we've already established, that's Malchus Yavon. Malchus Yavon already was seen in Zechariah's first vision in the form of the symbolic form of a red horse. And red, of course, is the color of dam, of blood. This is a murderous kingdom. The black horses, says the Malbim, refers to Malchus Romi, Rome, which succeeded Greece, Athens, and then Rome. They are symbolized by black because they too are a bloody, murderous culture. And indeed, in Chazal, black is red. When it comes to Maros Dam, to the color of blood, the Halacha says black is red, which has become darkened, discolored. Perhaps the blood has become oxidized and now turns black. So, we're talking about the Black Night, N-I-G-H-T, of the Golus Romi, the exile under which we were dominated by Rome, and of course all that Rome comes to symbolize. The third group is white horses. This refers to a more peaceful kingdom that will not be murderous. That's symbolized by white, the color of chesed. And then there's a fourth Markovo, which is referring to those countries, those nations, which will arise close to the time of the ultimate redemption. And we will see how the Malbim develops the meaning of these two last chariots, the white horses and the speckled and ash-colored horses. The pasuk continues, Vo'an vo'omar el ha-maloch ha-dover bi mo eile Adoni. Once again, Zechariah is puzzled. He's mystified by this vision, and he consults the angel who speaks to him and asks, what do these things mean? Vaya'an hamaloch vayomer Eloi. The king, I'm sorry, the angel answered and said to me, Eile arba ruchos hashomayim, yotzos mehisyatzev al adon kol ha'oretz. These chariots represent the four directions of the heavens, the four, north, south, east, west. And they are coming out from after having stood before the master of the universe. The Malbim says that this is a message saying that these nations were sent to dominate the world, bifikudas rom venisa, at the command of the Almighty God. Asher bo hasusim hashechorim yotzim el eretz tzofon. The chariot with the black horses is going out to the north. They're going out northward. This, of course, indicates that these black horses are going to capture the north. Notice there's no mention here of the red horses, because they've already been spoken of. Malchus Yavon has already been spoken of. And when we speak here in this pasuk of the black horses, which symbolize Rome is going to the northern countries, to the northern districts. And of course, it is from the north that the enemy comes to destroy Yerushalayim. V'halivonim yotzu el achareyem. The white ones come out after the black ones, the white horses. But the Pasuk does not tell us where the white ones are going because they have no single direction. They spread east and west all over the world. Those are the kingdoms which succeed the kingdom of Rome. No one nation dominating all the world, but nations spreading out all over. The Habirudim, the spotted or speckled horses, Yotzu al Eretz Hatemon, they go out to the south, because in the time of Yemos HaMoshiach, a kingdom will arise which will not be so bad, not be so good. It will be speckled. It will have elements of white, but also elements of black. Peaceful, but yet warlike. And the ultimate battle at the end of time, the battle of Gog and Magog, will come there in Tamon in the south, south being the land of Eretz Yisrael. And then there will be two camps, as the Navi Yecheskel describes in Pirokim 38 and 39 of Yecheskel, that at that time the Bnei Edom will try to conquer Eretz Yisrael from Yishmael. So the Berudim, the speckled horses, are Rome, Edom, Christianity perhaps, Western civilization. And they will go to war against the Amutsim. These are the ash-colored horses, and the ash-colored horses represent Yishmael, the Arab, or perhaps the Islam culture. And as the pasuk continues, "V'ho amutzim yotzu vayivakshu lo leches lehishalech ba'oretz." The ash-colored ones will go to war against the speckled ones, and they will want to dominate the entire earth, the entire world. They will want to spread all over. They will see themselves as world conquerors. "Vayomer luchu hishalchu ba'oretz vatisalachna ba'oretz." And indeed, to a certain extent, God will permit them to dominate the entire world in this last, what should we say, the last innings of the ball game. It's frightening and astounding when one reads this and thinks of today's world and the two cultures that are struggling to dominate the world, the West versus the Islam, Edom against Yishmael. Of course, one can never take these prophecies too literally and apply them to our times, but the implications are fascinating. The pasuk continues, Vayazek osi, God made me cry, God made me scream. Vayedaber elai lemor, but he also spoke to me words of Nichumim. He told me things which were troubling. He told me things which were comforting. A, Hayotzim el Eretz Tzofon. First of all, what made me cry is the scene of what's happening in the north. The scene of the red horses, the white horses, which represent the wars and the tsoros which Am Yisrael will have occurred to them, but also Heinichu Esruchi be'eretz tzafon. He also will see that God's wrath is softed, is muted, because ultimately these murderous kingdoms, these evil kingdoms, will pass from the scene. I again am just explaining you these psukim following Malbim. Vayehi divar Hashem elai lemor. Zechariah continues and says, the word of God came to me and said, Lo koach me'es ha-golo. Bring back from Golo. Remember, Zechariah is in the land of Eretz Yisrael. The Gola are the exiles in Bovel. This is the beginning years of the reconstruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Most of the Jewish people are in exile. Some are in Eretz Yisrael, Zechariah among them. And the Nevuah is that he should take from the Gola the following individuals, Mecheldai, Umeis Tovia, Umeis Yedaya. He should take these three individuals. Uvoso ato bayom hahu, and you yourself should go and go there and bring them. Uvoso beis Yoshio ben Sefania asher bo'u mi bovel, and go to the house of Yoshio ben Sefania. They have all come from Bovel. So we are introduced here to four individuals, Cheldai, Tovia, Yedaya, and Yoshio ben Sefania, whom are going to be taken or met with or consult with the Navi Zechariah. And they are to be involved in the creation of two crowns. Vilokachto kesef v'zahov v'yosisa atoros. You are to take silver and gold and make two crowns. The gold crown for the king, or the he who stands in the place of the king, whom we will see, for the Malbim is Zerubbabel, who is the temporary Moshiach, the Avdi Tzemach, the budding potential Moshiach. That's the gold crown. And the silver crown is for Yehoshua the Kohen HaGadol. There are always two elements in Jewish leadership, Malchus and Kahuna, king and high priest. So make these two crowns. V'samto b'rosh Yehoshua ben Yehotzadok HaKohen HaGadol. And you are to take the silver crown, so says the Malbim, and put it upon the head of Yehoshua ben Yehotzadok, who is the high priest. The gold crown is not placed anywhere yet. The king or the Mashiach is not here. And you should tell Yehoshua the Kohen HaGadol as follows. Ko Omar Hashem Tzivokos Lemor. This is what the Lord God said. Hine Ish, there is a man, Tzemach Shemo. His name is Tzemach. This is the person of Zerubbabel, who is only a tzemach, he is a bud, he is a blossom, he's not fully grown, he's not the fully realized Moshiach, he is the potential Moshiach. In the words of the Malbim, he is bekoach, but not bepoel. He is potentially, but not yet actually, the Moshiach. So he's called tzemach, but umitach tov yitzmach. Literally, under him, there will be another blossom, meaning the descendants of Zerubbabel will be the people who will be the ultimate Moshiach, Asher Uvono Es Hechal Hashem. They, that ultimate Moshiach, will build the final ultimate Beis HaMikdash. So there's Tzemach, and there's Tachtov, there's Zerubbabel, and there is his descendants way into the future. V'hu yivne es heichal Hashem v'hu yisahod. This ultimate descendant of Zerubbabel, the ultimate Moshiach, the Tzomeach mitachtov, he will build the heichal Hashem in such a way that he will carry who yisahod Hashem. He will bear the majesty of God. Zerubbabel will have a hand in building the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni is small stuff compared to the Bayis Shlishi. And he will not be, Zerubbabel will not be Nose Hod, but his Tzemach Mitachtov, his descendant, that Moshiach will. V'yoshavu Moshal Al Kiso, that king will indeed sit and dominate and rule. Now, with Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel is not a Moshael, he is not a ruler, because he's still under the control of the kings of Persia. He's not independent, he's not a sovereign king. But the ultimate Moshiach, V'yoshav u'moshal al kiso, he will rule, he will dominate, he will be a sovereign, independent king. V'hoyo kohen al kiso, and then the Kohen will be on his chair, on his throne, meaning the Kohen will not be the king, the Kohen will be the Kohen. And the king will be the king. Va'atzas shalom tihiyeh ben shneihem. There will be no rivalry between the two. Zerubbabel, or his descendant, will be the king, and he will sit on the king's throne, presumably with a gold crown, and the Kohen Gadol will sit on his throne, the throne of priesthood, and he will have upon his head the silver crown. And of course, this is a revelation about the times of the Chashmonoim, the times of Chanukah, when the Chashmonoim, who were Kohanim, became kings. They had both thrones, which was, as we know, not very proper. But the Navi here is speaking of a time way into the future when that will no longer be true. But rather the Kohen will be on his kisei, and the Melech will be on his kisei. V'ho atoros, these crowns, tihiye lechelem, should be for the man named Chelem, whom we assume is identical to the man named Cheldai. Uletovya v'liyadayo, we met them. Ulechein ben Sefanya, who we assume Yoshio ben Sefanya equals Chein ben Sefanya. These crowns will be lezikoron beheichal Hashem. They won't be worn on anyone's head, but rather they will be placed in the heichal, in the temple, as a zikoron. The Malbim reminds us that these, the Mishneh Meseches Midos tells us, that these crowns were held, were suspended, hung on high in the Heichal, so that the Jewish people should see them and be encouraged that a time of the Geula Shlemo will come when the king and the Kohen Gadol will don these two crowns, and the people will then be inspired to do Teshuvah. Urechokim yavou, people will come from far, far away. These are the people who did not return in the Bayis Sheni, but will return for the Bayis Shlishi. In the times, the ultimate times, then people will come from all over. Hopefully we're seeing that to some extent today. People returning to Eretz Yisrael from all over the world, far, far places. Uvanu beheichal Hashem, and they will rebuild the final Beis Hamikdash. Vidatem ki Hashem tzevokol shlochani aleichem. And then you will know that my nevuah, the prophecies of Zechariah, are correct, but that they only will be correct, they only will come true if you deserve it. V'hayoyim shemoa tishmu'un b'kol Hashem elokeichem. If you will hear, yes, hear, listen, obey the voice of Hashem, your God, then these wonderful nevuos of the full reconstruction of the Beis HaMikdash, of the full sovereignty of the King of Moshiach, of the separation of powers, if you will, not no longer the confusion and the mingling of the powers of the Kahuna and the powers of the Malchus, but each functioning in its own proper domain. The king is king, the Kohen Gadol as Kohen Gadol. And so we come to the end of this chapter, Vav, chapter 6, the vision of Zechariah in chapter 6.